The scriptures are not only the stories about the life of Jesus and the life of that early community of faith, but we are meant to find in them examples and teachings for our present day life as well. And so I would like to draw your attention this morning for a few moments to a character found in the first reading that Jack read to us from the Acts of the Apostles. A character I would suggest is terribly significant in the life of this early church, and yet a character who is very, very rarely reflected upon. And that is the man Barnabas. We first meet Barnabas in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We are told that his real name is Joseph. Barnabas is a nickname that the Jerusalem community gave him. Barnabas is a member of that Jerusalem community, although he comes from Cyprus. He is a member of the house of Levi. And he's a fairly wealthy man in that he owns a farm in Cyprus. He sells that farm, and the proceeds he brings to the apostles so that they may be used in distribution in the Jerusalem church for those who are in need. He's a generous man, and a man who sees well beyond himself. Well, the next time we hear about Barnabas is in the first reading today. Saul has been converted on the road to Damascus, and he goes into Arabia, and he spends a fair number of years in Arabia, and then decides that he wants to meet with Peter and the other leaders of the church in Jerusalem. Peter and the elders in Jerusalem are unwilling to meet with Saul because of his reputation as a persecutor. And they really doubt that he really has become a Christian. So when Saul comes to Jerusalem, the meeting cannot take place. But Barnabas sees in Saul something that Peter and the others do not. He sees a depth of faith and commitment. He sees a deep faith and a desire to share that faith. And so Barnabas brokers a meeting between Saul and Peter and the elders. And at that meeting, Barnabas acts as Saul's representative. And he testifies to the events that have occurred in Saul's life. How he did meet Jesus on the road to Damascus, and how he fearlessly preached the gospel of Jesus Christ in Damascus. Well, because of Barnabas's work in bringing Saul and Peter together, Saul was allowed to preach in Jerusalem. Now, he's young in the faith, and he's rambunctious, as most young people are as they undertake their life's work. He's filled with enthusiasm, and he begins by approaching the Hellenists, the Jews of Greek origin. And in his preaching of the word, he becomes enthusiastic to the point that the Hellenists are afraid of him. And so what they try to do is they try to harm him. The Jerusalem community takes Saul and takes him to Caesarea and puts him on a boat and tells him to go home to Tarsus and just spend some time there, because he's not going to succeed doing what he's doing. Now, in the meantime, up in Antioch, a church has begun to grow strong. But for the first time, the strength of this church is not in Jewish converts, but in Gentile converts to Christianity. And word comes down to Jerusalem about this strong Gentile Christian church in Antioch. And once again, Peter and the elders become suspicious of this. They are very used to a Judeo-Christian church. They are very suspicious of a Gentile Christian community. And so they ask Barnabas to go up to Antioch and to scout out what's going on there. And Barnabas goes to Antioch and he finds that the reports are absolutely accurate, that this is fundamentally a Gentile community that has come to Christianity, and that they are vibrant and strong, and they are growing by leaps and bounds. And so Barnabas stays there to nurture that Gentile church. Since they are not Jews by background, they have no experience of the scriptures, the Old Testament. And part of what Barnabas seeks to do is to educate them in the Jewish scriptures, so that they may more richly understand who this Jesus is. But the work is daunting. It's incredible. And Barnabas needs help. So he sets sail for Tarsus, and he searches to find Saul. And when he finds him, he brings him to Antioch, and he's convinced that Saul could cut his teeth on being an apostle and an evangelist here in Antioch. And Barnabas would mentor him and assist him in that effort. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul worked together in Antioch. That Christian community recognizes that it has received a great gift from God, and it wants to pass that gift on to other Gentile communities. And so the community at Antioch sends Barnabas and Saul on what was to become the first missionary journey. They send them to Cyprus. Now remember, Cyprus is where Barnabas comes from. So he knows the language, he knows the people, he knows the customs. It's a wonderful place for Barnabas and Saul to go to sow the seeds of faith. And so they go off to Antioch and to the surrounding areas, and they proclaim the gospel there. And the words they speak are heard, and their people take that gospel deep to heart. But meanwhile, while Saul and Barnabas are in Cyprus, there is mischief going on in Antioch. Some Jewish Christians come to Antioch and insist that these Gentiles are not really Christian. That to be truly Christian, one had to embrace Judaism first. One had to embrace the law and live under the customs of Jewish faith. And only then could they offer themselves for baptism as Christians. And what happened was that wonderful church that Paul and Barnabas had built up began to fall apart and to become splintered. And so when Barnabas and Saul return to Antioch, they find the community in a disheveled condition. And Barnabas is very strong, and he tells the Gentiles that they should pay no attention to the Judaizers, that what they are telling them is not true, that one can embrace the gospel from wherever one is found, that the gospel is meant for all nations and the salvation of Jesus for all peoples. But because this has become such a tremendous issue and such a divisive issue, Barnabas and Saul go down to Jerusalem to meet with Peter and with the elders and to really hash this out. Because if the church is going to move into the Gentile communities, it's going to have to do it with integrity. And so what occurred in Jerusalem is what is known as the First Council of Jerusalem, the First Ecumenical Council, in which the elders of the church come together and under the Spirit and in prayer, they resolve this issue that it is not necessary to embrace Judaism first. It is not necessary to do that if one wishes to be Christian. And that's pretty much the last we hear about Barnabas in the scriptures. The nickname Barnabas means one who brings encouragement, one who encourages others. And that's really what Barnabas did. He encouraged Peter and the elders to be able to listen to Saul and to welcome him into the community and to put aside their fear. He encouraged Saul to come to Antioch and to join with him and to learn from him how to be a proclaimer of the good news and how to create a welcoming community rather than being divisive. He went off to Cyprus, to his home country, and there he encouraged people to embrace the gospel and the Christian life. And then returning to Antioch, he found this disarray, and he was able to encourage those young converts, those young believers, those Gentile Christians, to persevere in their faith. And he and Saul went down to Jerusalem, and again he was able to encourage the church of Jerusalem to take the position that Gentiles should be invited into the life of faith without having to first become Jews. He encouraged the church to open its eyes, to open its heart, to open its arms, to embrace the world. He encouraged Peter and Paul. He encouraged the churches to see that the gift that Jesus brings is a gift for all people. He's truly a remarkable figure in the life of this early church, a figure who very often gets passed over. If it were not for Barnabas, would Paul ever have become the apostle to the Gentiles? If it were not for Barnabas, would Christianity have remained just a small enclave of Jewish converts? If it were not for Barnabas, would the mission to the world ever have been fully embraced by that young church in Jerusalem? Maybe so, maybe not. But one thing we can learn from Barnabas is how the church always needs people to encourage each other to look beyond what they know, to take a step into the unknown, to be willing to trust in the word that God had spoken, that the salvation of Jesus Christ is meant for all people. The church needs a Barnabas to encourage all to embrace and open themselves up to the cultures and the languages and the experiences of others, and to not be afraid of that. And everyone who is a disciple of the Lord is meant to learn something from Barnabas, that in our own lives we become encouragers of others, other people in faith and in daily living, that we seek to find ways to help people open their eyes to possibilities that they presently do not see, and to encourage them to take steps that they may be fearful in taking. Barnabas stands as an example, just one, but an example of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus and what it is to bear much fruit.